Okay, I think I'm on, right? Okay. Praise the Lord. Scripture says that the trial of your faith is much more precious than gold that perisheth. So I told Steve I had one yesterday too, so I don't know if I can handle another one today, but we'll because without this here, that stuff right there, that's going to be pretty hard to convey or communicate what we have before us this morning. A couple thoughts. I was asked, Steve and Sally, whatever suggested and put me in this place to give a few thoughts on the singing Christian. I'm sure that someone else could do it better, but I'll endeavor to do that. Sally encouraged us already. Singing is a weapon. And could it be that we saw a little bit right here, you know, maybe the Lord answered a prayer. We think it's a small prayer, but in my mind, it was kind of big, a little bit here. We were here Thursday night and we had it all hooked up and everything worked flawlessly. That's what we thought. And then before we left out here, Dan looked at me and he said, "Now I hope this all works the same Saturday." I thought, well, I do too. Anyways, Psalm 66, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious." That takes effort too. It doesn't just happen. It don't just happen. And some, we'll just, let's move through here. Psalm 81, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring with the timbrel and the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Sing aloud, sing aloud." Is there a hymn that comes to anybody of your minds when I say that? What is it, Melvin? And by who? The Smuckers. "Sing, oh sing." How many know that song? You know, 20 years ago, we first heard that kind of music. And it shaped my life. It shaped my life in many, many ways. It gave me a hunger for what is that? And how's it done? And I just wrote down here, the Schmuckers, the songs and hymns from groups such as that was some of the greatest influences and inspirations to my life and us as a church 20 years ago, literally. I think it was 2006 when I first sat down in our little living room above Alan Brenneman's garage with John and Sarah and James and Anna. And we had first and second and third grade music books. And we sat there and we colored these shapes. And I was 22 years old or 23, whatever. But it shaped my life in a lot of ways. And the thing is some people, there might be, I don't know how necessary that is. But I would encourage us to consider, what is it without it? What will it be without it? Today, we're thankful for the young people that are here, their interest in music and song and blessing. It's a tremendous blessing in our midst that sometimes I take for granted. I know that. And some of the heart behind this has been in this music weekend. It was Brother Steve and Sally, the ministry. I'm not sure whose idea it was. I'm just submitted to try to help make it come, you know, make it work. But there's a lot of the young people that have learned some music and have confidence, you know, they can sing, whatever. They're getting older, they're getting married, and they're moving on. There's a lot of young people here, younger ones, that maybe don't know enough, maybe don't have confidence to just sing. Because when you take the spoon and put it to your mouth, Marlon, do you have to think where to put it? Why not? It's automatic, it's habit. And that's how I know, and those of you that sing, the ray is shaped like a cup, and it sounds like this in our mind in relative to pitch. And so the goal today, I'm going to get way off track, sorry. And I want to maybe keep it short because of time. Psalm 96, I'm going to read some scriptures to you just a little bit. Psalm 96, and you're welcome to turn if you have a Bible. If not, it's okay. It says these words, 1 to 4. It says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all the people. For the Lord, He is great, and greatly to be praised. He is feared, is to be feared above all gods." Psalm 98 says this. It says, "Sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him victory." And we thank the Lord for that. Jesus and his disciples sang a hymn in Matthew 26:30 on the Last Supper. Paul and Silas sang when they were in prison. We know all that. But I cannot help in my mind but to think, what did it sound like? You know, we often shape our thinking on our surrounding, our culture. But I dare think it could have been different than what we know. Maybe it was all unison. I don't know. But that's beside the point. But what did it sound like? They sang a hymn, it says. Worship and music and song followed God's people from the beginning in the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament and forward. When the people of God's hearts were set ablaze by the Spirit of the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ in the heart. That's what made a difference. The Lord gave me a song, my wife and I. I remember the first time I heard good music, this was maybe in 2003 or 4, with a quartet that's actually went far away now. But I was so inspired that we were sometime, I think after that, we ended up in Rosebush, Michigan. I met a young man up there. Well, they sang, you remember that, Solly? In the Swearys shed, whatever. This brother, Monroe Pate, none of you know him, probably not most of you. But he led the youth up there and they sang. And I was inspired. I went up to him and I said, "Brother, how do you do this? Teach me." And so we did. A few times I went to his house. He taught us a few things. And we began a journey. We began a journey of music. But it was because of what Christ did in my heart that made a difference. Because country music was one of my big things. And that influenced me too. Let's just move on here. I wanted to say very quickly, we know these scriptures. In Hebrews 8, verse 1, in a nutshell, why do we sing? Why do we sing? And I wanted to just point this out here. Hebrews. Okay, where are we at here? Okay, coming to it here. Hebrews 8, verse 1. You know, the beginning of Hebrews, it talks about so many different things. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise is left us of entering into His rest. Talks about Melchizedek, the glory of God in Christ, and all that. In chapter 8, verse 1, and it says this. Now of the things which we have spoken of, this is the what? Sum. So if you add it all together, he says, this is what it equals. And if we could sum the gospel into a simple message, that makes a difference and will help us have a song. It's in verses 10 and 12 of chapter 8 and other places too. But it says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them upon their heart. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." That's the difference. And I think, therefore, we'll sing. Um, And the beauty of this is that the youngest child sitting here can sing. That's the beauty of it. It's not just for a select, you know, a select group, a select people. If you have a voice, you can make a noise. And do we need to be trained? Can we train our voices? Can we, if you're off, can we tell you a little bit? Can you tell me? That's how we do it in the church body. It's okay. We help each other to grow. I don't plan to make a lot of discussion on the question, or the title was given, that indicates there are Christians who may not sing or do not appreciate godly music. It's true. We know it's true because it is incredible, the influence of music. Now I have a question. Who or how many of you all sitting in here, if you work for someone or if you have a business, Dave, when you put the gutters up, do you try your best? How much effort do you put into doing the best job you can? I mean, what's your answer? Why do we do that for? There's several reasons, but you know, Dave wants to please the customer. He wants it to be a good, they did this job and it's perfect. It looks very nice. The cabinet shop, the whatever, the construction, we do the best we can. We do excellent. And it's a trademark of God's people. We try the best we can. Because whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Do the best you can. In your workplace, your business, how much effort do you put forth to learn new things or to learn how to be more efficient, more productive? And the end is to produce a job or a product, that's excellent. That's our goal. If it's not our goal, we probably won't be employed long or won't work there long. The business will go like that because we try to do the best we can. The same goes with our speech, the way we talk, the way we write, the way we use numbers, math. We encourage excellence, the best that you can do. A simple little quote, good, better, best. What does it say? Say it again. Good, better, best. Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. It's an old thing years ago. And that was quoted by Saint Jerome, and I have no idea who that is. My thought is this, and I believe many sitting here, or persuasion is that is there any difference when we try to learn to sing? I don't think it is. When you get that hymn book out and you see all them notes, it means something. It really does. It's like language. You know, use it. It's there. There's a couple basic principles that hopefully you can take home this afternoon, this evening, and put to use, and it might help you. A couple quotes here. Our greatest weakness lies in giving up. I can't do it. The most certain way to succeed is always to try one more time. Thomas Edison. Another quote. Inspiring music may fill the soul with heavenly thoughts. It may move one to righteous action or speak peace to the soul. That's why Ezra Taft Benson. Now, I don't know who these people are, but what? And here's another quote. My wife gave me this one. It's kind of a long one. Listen to it. What posture must be more hated by the evil one than the posture of a believer who is singing? I can't think of many postures you can take that identifies you with Christ and against the Satan's kingdom more than eyes, heart, mind, and voice lifted to heaven in song. It's a blessing. And So one could ask, are there Christians that do not sing or appreciate good, solid music? It's probably possible. I don't know. But you will. I'll just go on with my notes here. Does it matter if you or I care about good music? Does it or not? If we don't, as a church, we don't care about it, we don't put any effort into it, my encouragement is this, and I think you would probably agree with me. When we don't do anything, by default, what happens to it? It goes down. It will go downward. And And I think it makes a difference. So yes, I believe it makes a difference. Does excellence in music, now that word excellence, I'll put parentheses beside that because I'll cap on it just a bit. Does excellence in music matter? Does it matter if we as a church body endeavor to learn music, promote beautiful godly music, and even songwriting and composing? Does it matter? I think it does. Like Brother Solly said, 25 years from now, what will it be? May we not lose the wonder. That's the beauty of it. And I wrote down the question, what can or may happen if we don't care? If we put no effort into it, I assure us, I think it'll go the wrong way. Because there's other things that will influence us. The Bible, this is just some conclusions. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Thus, sing, 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 oh, sing. The pursuit of excellence is a good thing. What you do, do it well. Thus, sing, oh, sing. If we as God's people don't pursue good music or care about it or deem it not important, we will definitely succumb to the peers. We will succumb to whatever else enters into our mind via singing and music, and we know where it can come from. Thus, sing, oh, sing. Now, I want to do a demonstration. I asked a couple young men, and this is not a, you boys can come up here. I chose the song leaders and those who are 20 and older just for a simple little group. I want to demonstrate a few things about harmony. I thought about this too. And actually, my daughter pointed this out. So harmony, we can have harmony, but what if we're not on the same pitch? It won't work, will it, Jonas? It's not going to work at all. So I'd like to demonstrate a few little things of why it's a good thing to have harmony. Harmony makes it more beautiful. It makes it more beautiful. And I think you'll hear it with this song. Kate, Melvin, the first thing I want to do is this. I want to demonstrate to you all just singing just the lead, and we're going to split you in two groups to get you two different pitches, okay? So you'll sing lead. Make a bigger group over here just a little bit, for right now. Caleb, come over here. But I'm going to give you two different pitches, okay? So you'll start on where they're going to sing the same words, all that, the same melody, but a different pitch. And see how that sounds once, real quick. So you have to listen. You guys block this out. Okay, here's you guys right on the pitch. We're only doing a half a step. What is the pitch, Mel? B flat. So remember it. Now you guys remember this. Now try it. Ready?
Which way? Shouts a voice on the night.
No pitch difference. One pitch. Go ahead.
Which way shall I take? Shouts a voice on the night. I'm a pilgrim.
Okay, that don't sound real well, right? Now, they were singing the same words and the same melody, but it was the wrong pitch. Maybe you're in the wrong ship. You know what I mean? If you're in the wrong ship and there's melody over there, but it's going the wrong direction, you need to change ships. Get over. All right, so now we'll demonstrate unison, which is simply soprano or lead in one verse. And you'll hear it's nice, but it's pretty alone. The second verse, they're going to add one little part, right? And then the third verse, they'll add all the parts. And you'll hear the difference, I think. So go ahead, guys, you guys take over. I'll just help you wherever. B flat, Melvin.
Which way shall I take? Shouts a voice on the night. I'm a pilgrim, a weary and spent is my light. And I seek for between
That's good. Okay, well, did you hear any difference? I guess that's the point. Did you hear a difference, Nelson? All right. It went from simple and flat to much beauty and harmony. I don't think I have much more. Beans, we're a little bit late here, and I'll give it over to Brother Solly to kind of direct it further here. And we'll... The goal is this. To help you grab a hymn book and open it up and find your way through a song. Maybe it's a new one. That's the goal. And ultimately to bring glory to the Lord. So God bless you. Thank you for praying. I'll let Brother Solly take over from here a little bit.